and media that is continues to make those questions, continue to ask those questions, and continue to shed light in the areas that affect people's lives. So thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you. Alrighty, everybody, until next time.
This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Jeff Rasmussen, a retired Racine Unified teacher and administrator who currently serves as president of the Racine Area Retired Educators Association, Steve Brown, a retired professor of educational leadership, and former Kenosha Unified School Superintendent Joe Mangi. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Hello, I'm Karen Sconsert, and this is Education Matters. Today, we have guests from the Kenosha Public Library, which was awarded the 2020 Wisconsin Library Association Library of the Year Award in October. Today, we'll talk about the award, the challenges of serving the community during a global pandemic, as well as the civil unrest which occurred in Kenosha in August, and also find out about some interesting things and new programming that has come about because of these sort of strange circumstances we find ourselves in. So we have four guests today. Barb Bratton joined KPL as director in 2014. Her library career began in Ohio, her home state, and she's also worked as a public librarian in Illinois and Colorado. Welcome, Barb.
Thank you.
Heather Thompson is the head of Youth and Family Services in the Kenosha Public Library. Before this position, she was the Youth Programming Librarian at the Kenosha Public Library, as well as a Children's Librarian E-Media Specialist at the Cook Memorial Public Library District in Libertyville, Illinois. Welcome to Heather.
Thanks for having me.
Marcia Sear, I'm probably saying that wrong.
It's Sear,
good, okay, is head of outreach services. Marcia has a Master of Library and Information Science from Dominican University Chicago and a BS in Vocational Rehabilitation from UW-Madison. She has been at the library since 2015. Before heading the outreach department, she served as the digital strategy librarian. Welcome, Marcia.
Thank you for having me.
And Brandy Cummings, who helped us organize this, is the communication specialist at the Kenosha Public Library, working for the library for nearly 15 years. Brandy has spent time in many departments and positions before leading the marketing team for the past 3 years. Welcome, Brandy.
So happy to be here. Thank you.
Okay. So it's nice to see all of you. I just want to remind listeners that we are taping these shows from our homes and workplaces rather than the studio, and therefore our sound quality may sometimes waver a bit. And in my case, we might be invaded by one of my cats if they can get up from one of their naps. Please bear with us. I will also fully disclose that I am served as a trustee of the Kenosha Public Library from 2012 to 2018. So I am not a neutral interviewer here, but a big fan of the library and so proud of them for winning this award. So I want to start by reading part of the citation from the Wisconsin Library Association for the award. The Kenosha Public Library has spent the last 6 years deeply committed to and heavily involved in our county's Strive Together initiative, Building Our Future. This preparation has enabled the Kenosha Public Library to courageously rise to the challenges of both COVID-19 and the recent riots that sent their city up in flames. Throughout the turmoil, the library staff has remained undaunted. The Kenosha Public Library was determined to deliver programs, collections, and wireless access to neighborhoods across the city. The fact that Kenosha Public Library's responsibility to the community does not stop at the library's walls, and for its progressive commitment to the success of the Kenosha community, the Kenosha Public Library is truly deserving of the 2020 Library of the Year Award. So I'm so proud of you. Congratulations. Tell me, each of you, which part of what you've done to earn this award makes you the most proud. So Barb, as library director, what is something that just, you know, really stands out to you as to why this award is so special?
Well, it's that courageous part, Karen. It's that courage of the staff to show up every day and meet the public, especially opening uptown 3 days after the fires. It's a great testament to the fact that this library staff understands how essential the library is to so many lives. They rose above their own fears to make sure people had a cool, comfortable, safe place to go and connect to the internet and use public computers. We saw many homeless there the day that we opened, and plenty of people cut off from access to services they needed because they had no connection to the internet. We passed out food and water, and we welcomed everyone back. It took a lot of guts to walk into the Uptown Library on a boarded up city block with smoldering rubble in plain view. Heroes are rare, and we have a lot of them at the library.
Great. Marcia, tell us about, you know, what makes you most proud about this award?
Well, 2020 definitely was interesting. And also my first full year in this role. So coming at it, not really having a full year under my belt, and then really having to adapt daily. But with the COVID challenges early in the year and slowly starting to reimagine the services that we used to offer and try to rework them in a new way. So, for example, we did purchase a van earlier in the year that we were able to tool and use as a Wi-Fi hotspot. We went to about 15 stops a week in June, July, and August. And in August, we resumed some services to seniors that had been basically cut off since March. And we do delivery right to their door, contactless home delivery. And we also resumed lobby stops in that same way. So instead of going to the senior buildings that we used to service and bring in our four carts and our materials to let seniors come down and check out, what we've done instead is we do a lot of phone work and pre-work with them. We bring the items to their buildings. We drop them off at their door. And so I guess the reworking and retooling of services and getting things back to people that need us. A lot of the people who use the outreach services really don't have another way to use library services. So that makes it really important to me that we try to get that back to them as soon as possible.
Great, thank you so much. Heather, what has been sort of one of the big reasons why Youth Services has contributed to this award?
I would say in large part, it's that we have tried our best to keep things as normal as possible for children and teens and families in a completely not normal year. The thing that makes me the most proud of the Youth and Family Services staff is their total, to borrow a word from Marcia, reimagining of how to offer programs to children and families when we can't be there in person in a closed room in tight quarters with them. They were challenged by me to put a fully imagined program into a 9x5x4 box and hand them out to families. And they did, and they have been incredibly popular. And I know we've gotten a lot of feedback from parents and caregivers thanking us for doing something that is so fun for them and their kids, but makes things still feel a little bit normal.
Great. And Brandy, I'm sure there's been no shortage of communication that went into earning this award. So tell us a little bit about what you think has contributed to the Wisconsin 2020 Library of the Year Award that you and your office have completed.
I have the unique honor of getting to stitch together all of the wonderful things you just heard my colleagues talk about. And what I think our 2020 services have proven is that we're crafting a living love letter to our community. We have very thoughtfully and intentionally tried to find ways to continue to meet the needs of our patrons and our community as things were evolving and changing in ways that were unprecedented and at times terrifying. I mean, we're residents of this community. We live here too, and we're also dealing with the turmoil and the unrest, and to see our team come together and find ways to recognize the social isolation or recognize the value add the library has for each of our community members has just been so miraculous and so inspiring. And I think that we can stand back and look at this honor and recognize that it was well earned this year. Our response was well fought, and I'm so proud of our team that continues to serve this great community.
Great, thank you very much. I think we're gonna get into this a little bit later, but one of the things that's pretty obvious is that you can't just turn on a dime. Like, all of the groundwork for this had been laid for years before you had to do this. You know, Heather, you're talking about all the great things that your staff was able to do. I'm sure it's because you hired great staff years ago, right? So last June, I recorded a program with Heather, Marcia, and Brandy about services at the libraries during the pandemic. And we talked a little bit about how the summer was gonna look different. But the summer looked even different than we expected. So I'm wondering if you can tell us, in addition to what Barb said about opening the Uptown branch of the library, have there been any particular responses to the civil unrest in Kenosha after the shooting of Jacob Blake in August? What are some ways that you have served the community specifically over the summer and through the summer and fall? And I'll start with Marcia on that.
Okay. Well, we were already out and about with our van offering Wi-Fi services before that incident occurred. We were doing about 15 stops a week, and some of the regions that we hit that are in that zone include Lincoln Park, Brass School, Roosevelt, a senior building that we're going to weekly Harborside Commons. And so we tried to keep that schedule going as best we could. If we could get the vehicles into the area and it was going to be safe for staff, we went ahead and tried to resume those services on schedule. Something else that we added for the summer was Lisa, our school-age librarian. She created weekly, kind of like low-tech family activities. Not something that somebody would have to register for, but just if they stumbled across our Wi-Fi van in the community and weren't already library users, we could tell them, you know, what we were doing out here with this van, and here's an activity that you can come home, take home, and then let them know about all the other things that they could get from the library, including the programs from Youth and Family Services. Those were a pretty big hit. We did convert those senior building stops, and Harborside and St. Kitts were down kind of in that zone. We kept to that schedule as close as possible to continue to serve those seniors. A number of those seniors are they're confined to their homes. So if we didn't go to their buildings, they would have been without services. So we felt that was really important. We do have a number of dedicated staff, especially Lori Moore. She's our home delivery person. She will be out weekly to the best of her ability. She's very, very committed to that. And Sue Val is an outreach specialist that's been going to St. Kitts for a number of years. All of our staff were in telephone communication with these folks as well. So even if maybe they were willing to skip a week because they were unsure about having people come into the area, we were in telephone contact with them. So they didn't feel like they were alone in a really fairly stressful, unprecedented period, especially for those folks that were living right down in the region. We resumed bookmobile services in early September with some modifications. We couldn't have large groups of people boarding the vehicles anymore. We couldn't have classrooms coming aboard anymore. So we made some changes. Brandy helped me craft a very positive message, you know, asking people to please know that we asked people to wear a mask on board and that one family unit could board the bus at a time, or one person if they were an individual. So we resumed a number of our very popular community stops, not every stop right away, but Brass School is a Thursday afternoon stop that had been established for a while. We resumed that in September along with the Bridges Community Center downtown. They were off and on, open and closed due to their population and their COVID restrictions. But when they're open, we're servicing them on Tuesday mornings. And then something else we have done is we debuted some new ways of servicing people. The lobby stops turned into home deliveries, one example, but another example is that some of the schools, they can't have visitors and they're not allowing their kids to leave the building and get on our bus. So we created a new program where we, ahead of time, were selecting age-appropriate materials with the help of different staff members for different schools. And then on either a weekly or biweekly basis, we're dropping off bins of books for children in these schools so that they still have access to books. And a number of these kids would not be getting to the library branches if it weren't for, you know, getting books brought to their school. So we're really happy and proud about that.
Okay, I'm just gonna take a moment to do reintroduction because we're at the one third of the way through the program, and then we'll go back and have the other people answer this question. So you are listening to WGTD HDFM. I'm your host, Karen Sconzert, and this is Education Matters. This discussion of the Kenosha Public Library's Wisconsin 2020 Library of the Year Award is at WGTD.org on the Education Matters page. It's archived there and you're invited to listen again, or you can find our WGTD Education Matters Facebook page and join in a discussion there. So I was asking all of the ways that the library has responded to community needs in Kenosha over the summer and fall after the civil unrest. And obviously the outreach librarian, Marcia, just told us a whole long list of really interesting ways that you've adjusted services to meet the needs of the community. But I wanna let the other three guests have a chance to answer as well. So Barb Bratton, library director, can you tell us a little bit about sort of the way that you've specifically served the community?
Well, things seem to happen nicely and organically for the library. We just happened to be involved in a state project called Wisconsin Libraries Transforming Communities, which was out of the Department of Public Instruction. And the idea was to partner a community organization with a librarian to go out into the community and listen to the community members, find out what they need, and figure out how the library fits in. So we had Brandon Morris from Building Our Future working with Xander Miller, who is a librarian here, on our staff. And they were really planning on holding meetings to hear from residents about their needs. And it just worked out to be perfect timing with the pandemic and then that post-civil unrest. So they were able to hold a couple of in-person meetings and everyone was masked up, but it was like 100 people in the room at that Brown Bank building in Uptown. And it was, like I said, a huge turnout. And the comments were really interesting. And they really helped us identify ways in which the library could contribute to the community's recovery. And a good example was during that recent election, where the neighborhood residents actually stated that they didn't know who was running for office. They didn't know who their alderman was. They didn't know how to vote. And so, you know, this was surprising to us, but my goodness, it was something that we could easily step up and do. So we quickly created a central online clearinghouse for that information. And we checked with the city clerk's office to make sure that it was complete. And we hadn't missed any candidates, and we announced it to that same group a couple weeks later, and they were were surprised. It's like, wow, the library listened to us, and you know, the library can do this for us. And another example, Brandon and Xander went out on the streets to hear from the residents firsthand. They just walked the streets in the Uptown neighborhood after the civil unrest, and they heard from the people that they met that they didn't know who their alderman was, and they'd never met that person before. So it was simple for me because I'm a city department head. I just quickly sent out an email to that alderman. And next thing you know, he's walking the streets with Xander and Brandon, and he's meeting his constituents face to face. So I like to talk about the power of the library in terms of connections and in terms of community partnerships. You know, we're soon, one thing leads to another, and you do those kinds of things, and you meet the people that you serve in a different way, not necessarily in the library, and soon you're invited to do a lot more. So we've been at voter registrations, for instance, with the Urban League since then. It's just one thing after another where we're invited to contribute our skills and our talents. And so that's it. It's always evolving, and there's always new opportunities arising.
Brandy, again, I think a lot of people, when we interviewed you in June, I asked specifically what your job is as communications director. And I keep thinking about how many ways you've had to communicate new things to people in the last year, and specifically since August. So can you tell us a little bit about how your role has contributed to this the services that you're offering?
Absolutely. So my team, we get to work with a really dynamic product called Orange Boy, which is what we use to send out our newsletters. But it also lets us look at how people are using our library and look at how we can best get the most important information in front of them quickly. So this year has been a sort of crash course in trying to figure out how to best reach everyone with the most important news and the needs that they need met. And we've been able to develop really great communication channels with patrons who we may have previously not had direct access to, or people who haven't been able to very easily find immediate answers to their library questions. So there's been a lot of opportunity this year, as you mentioned, with communication. And with this big push digital, we've found that more and more we're relying on our phone services in order to reach people who aren't connected to us digitally, whether that's through social media or email. And so getting the word out there and working with community partners to share that we have reference helplines, or that we have a phone number you can call, and our staff will craft you a mystery bag of 10 books based on your favorite or least favorite authors and introduce you to something new. It's as Barb mentioned, an ever-evolving opportunity for communication this year. And we've gotten to kind of stretch our wings and try new things and jump from opportunity to opportunity, sometimes gracefully and sometimes not. But it's definitely offered us the opportunity to learn more about how communication best works for our customers and for the people in our community who might not grace our doors as often as we would like to see them.
So not only do you have the innovation of the Wi-Fi hotspot van, but you're just using the regular phones again more than you were. Isn't
definitely
that interesting? So we need. So it's kind of going in both directions at the same time.
Yep.
Right. So Heather, I'm sure that one of the things that you deal with families are just sort of some of the ways that you can try to help children feel more normal about what's going on, or to recover from sort of seeing some of the things that were very scary for them to witness. So I'm wondering, what are some things that you've done in children and youth services?
Well, we have offered a lot of different things. One of the things we have kind of ramped up since the summer is our number of virtual story times that we're doing. I think we're at 6 a week, which is, you know, not nearly as many as we were doing in person before everything shut down, but it is still a good number of story times. We're also offering some hybrid programs that we're calling grab and gather. Yes, grab and gather. I was like, grab and go. No, grab and gather. So that means they come to the library, they get the supplies for a program, and then we all meet on Zoom and do the program together. So that works really well for some of our old favorite programs like Art Sparks with Mrs. Potter, where everybody comes and does an art project with her. She just did one last week and she had an absolute blast. And so it's nice to kind of have those, the face-to-face interactions still, even in a limited capacity. But I think also one of the most popular things that we did and are still doing is thanks to the Kenosha Community Foundation. We have a small grant, a CBK grant, and that allowed us to offer some story walks in conjunction with Hawthorne Hollow. So people can go out to Hawthorne Hollow for free and walk the trails and read a story as they go. And there are limited numbers of to-go crafts there as well that are based on the story. So that's been a really lovely thing to see pictures of families getting out there and doing one of the things you can actually do right now is be outdoors as a family and still reading with us here at the library.
Great, thank you. So I'm curious, when I talked to you in June, the buildings were not open to patrons. And so I'm wondering what the status of the library buildings are these days. Are you open for patrons at all? Or is it all sort of virtual and takeaway things that you're using?
Yeah, we are open. We're open our normal hours at Simmons and Uptown. So that includes some evening hours. And we've been a little bit more cautious with Northside and Southwest simply because those large facilities are likely to attract crowds, which is exactly what we don't want to do in a pandemic. So we only open till 3 o'clock, but Monday through Saturday from 9 to 3 at Northside and Southwest, you can walk through the doors and get all the services you used to. We don't allow any meeting rooms right now for the same reason as those crowds. And then we also have Sunday hours at both Northside and Southwest, 12 to 4. And then we have curbside till 5 o'clock at those locations. But again, you know, Uptown and Simmons are both open in the evening. So if you are someone who works till 5 o'clock and you still need a library, you have two locations to choose from.
And then do you have safety protocols in place or any kinds of restrictions?
Oh my goodness, plenty. You have to wear a mask, of course, when you come in. We have plexiglass around our staff desks. And there's capacity limits at all of the libraries. We haven't had to enforce so far, which is great. We have reached capacity at our smaller branches, but we haven't had to have people wait outside, which is great. So we're at a 25% capacity limit. We're cleaning quite a bit. And something I'll talk about later would be how we've really intensified our quarantining of our returns. So we're very careful about keeping our collections pandemic free as we, you know, I like to say the difference between business is you walk in and you buy something, you take it home, you don't bring it back. In the library, you're bringing it back. So we have some other precautions that we put in place to make sure that the collections are clean.
Okay. Great. Well, so I'm going to skip ahead a little bit because I think this is relevant. When I asked the question in June about the buildings being open, so obviously, one of the things that libraries do is serve as warming centers for local, perhaps unhoused citizens or other people. So what do you worry about with your patrons during this time? And, you know, how have you been able to serve them in the ways I guess part of that you just answered because Uptown and Simmons are open later, but is there any other way that you think you're able to serve those really vulnerable populations for whom the library is literally a lifeline?
For me, this is Barb, for me, my greatest worry is the children who are at home trying to do online learning and they don't have a good support system. That what's concerning to me is that relationship between a child and his teacher and a child and her librarian. I don't think it can be overstated, especially for kids at risk. So, you know, we've always been that place, that connection place for children. And I'm, you know, I'm really anxious to see us get back to the place where we can have floods of kids after school. They need that connection to us. So that what's worrying me the most. I mean, Heather and her team and Marcia and her team have done tremendous job trying to keep that relationship solid. You know, kids can pick up these kits and things after, you know, like just at the curb. They don't have to be online if they can't be online. You know, we allow kids that are over 12 to come to the library and do their online school there. And we were just kind of promoting that with the teenagers. We've seen some teenagers come in and do that, just be here for their online school. So they're not at home alone, which can, you know, especially in a dark winter, can be, you know, really depressing. So just to be in a well-lit and warm place, I think it's just so comforting to, you know, I think that's the reason a lot of people go to Starbucks and set up during normal times, right? And just are on their computer all day. They like that. Just to be in a place that is buzzing with some kind of activity, but not extremely loud. So, you know, to me, that's the most worrisome thing. And I know that, you know, the others can kind of chime in here about, like, how have we tried to mitigate that?
Yeah, do any of the rest of you have something to add on this question? Okay, it'll probably come out in some of the other things. Let me just do another reintroduction break. You're listening to WGTD HDFM. I'm your host, Karen Sconzert, and this is Education Matters. This discussion of the Kenosha Public Library's Wisconsin 2020 Library of the Year Award at WGTD.org on the education is archived on the Education Matters page, and you're invited to listen again. Or you can find our WGTD Education Matters Facebook page and join in a discussion there. So the next question I have is, in your Wisconsin 2020 Library of the Year Award citation, you cited your work in the Strive Together Building Our Future initiative in this way. Immersion in this collective impact partnership has forced the library to critically re-examine all of its policies, services, staffing, and collections through an equity lens. Tell us more about what that has meant and how it's changed the focus of the library, as well as specific results of that change that you sort of were able to put into place to respond to these two crises. So Heather, maybe you could start with that one.
Well, earlier this year, the Youth and Family Services Department got an LSTA grant through the Department of Public Instruction to collaborate with the Kenosha Unified School District in creating a common tool to evaluate our collections for diversity, to make sure that our collections are an accurate reflection of our diverse community. And so because of COVID, that has that work has been extended, the grant has been extended, so it's still ongoing, but it's a very important project, and the importance of it was underscored this summer.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Brandy, are there ways in which the communications office has had to think about an equity lens and how it may have changed the way you do your work?
Absolutely. I think one of the things you hit on the nose earlier was that a lot of this framework was already in existence for us, right? We're able to pivot and react to these situations, it's because we already came to this time in our community with the understanding of championing equity. So for my team, obviously, when we talk about like our visual communications, visual representation of the diversity of our community is very important. And we keep that in mind with our graphics and posters and design, but also making sure that when we are creating spaces or we are redesigning the physical use or even the digital use of the library, that we're considering people of all abilities, people who may be using adaptive equipment. There's always a layer of equity built into how we're doing what we're doing. I think with the current civil unrest that we experienced this over the summer, we definitely took a step back to take a deep breath and figure out how do we express our commitment and support to the community in a time where that support is so deeply needed. So we spent a lot of time very intentionally talking through like, what are our spaces for and how do our resources best support people? You heard Barb talk about how we were part of a voter registration event with the Urban League and how these opportunities are continuing to come to us from our community partners. And that's because partially because our communications team has been very intentional in reaching out to those partners and continuing to have those conversations about how do we help build a longer table in Kenosha for all of us and how do we make sure that everyone's represented.
Okay, thanks. And Marcia?
One of the things that we talked about a few times now, but really affected the work that we did this summer, I think, is the clear emergence of a very divided public, also the digital divide that we've been talking about. And I think the awareness and some of the media coverage of kids doing their homework outside of Taco Bell's and that type of coverage is really just the tip of the iceberg about how this was affecting our country before. And now it's even greater. One of the things that I learned about this summer was a tool, actually Barb learned about it at the Strive and Building Our Futures, was a tool that we can use for data. It's like mapping. So I was able to actually map out where areas of Kenosha that have the lowest number or lowest level of broadband internet connections, the lowest socioeconomic status that might contribute to digital divide. And we were able to use that to create the map of the 15 places that we were going to go with our Wi-Fi van. And Lisa, our school-aged librarian, you know, intentionally creating low-tech family activities. And she put everything in that activity kit that you need. If you needed a piece of string, if you needed a piece of tape, she does not assume that everything or anything that you need is in the household. So a child could grab one of these things and literally go home and do it and not have to ask or try to figure out how they're going to do it with something else. So, you know, being very intentional with, Brandy mentioned it earlier too, with data that we now have access to that we maybe didn't in the past, and having a good dialogue with patrons and meeting their needs, and then finding out later on how thankful and grateful they are for these programs in a boxes and low tech things, and going with it and then expanding on that. Reimagining the things that we've done is not easy, but then trying to like adapt on top of it, just going for it. And not everything that I've done in the last year has been a success. A couple things that I thought were going to be home runs were not at all. One of them was a walk and talk book club. I thought, like, oh, we could walk outside, you know. No, not really. It wasn't a hit. So not getting down on yourself for things that don't work out, but then you know, maybe keeping that idea in the back of my mind. It is a good idea, but maybe it just isn't right now, and that's okay. So, you know, just that constant community feedback loop and really, really observing intentionally about what's happening right now is making a big difference.
Great, thank you. So believe it or not, we only have a few minutes left. So I just want to kind of condense every question into one last chance for you all to say. So what are some, what besides cat hour, Zoom cat hour, what's like one thing that you think is really a great thing that has come out of the last 6 months in the libraries? And what's a goal that you have going forward? Now that you've won Wisconsin Library of the Year, what's next after that great award? So let's start with Brandy and then Heather and then Marcia and then Barb.
Oh, I'm so glad I get to go first because I'm really excited about this service and I didn't want someone else to steal it. I am so excited that we have started offering a new resource called BrainFuse. And I'm sorry to all my colleagues who might have wanted to talk about it. But BrainFuse is a live tutoring and education support resource that is free to access with your library card through our website. And we looked at this product and responded to the anticipation of the need in our community with a shift to virtual schooling and the shift to a different type of learning environment. And this is just one more way that the dedication and care of our team is shown by bringing forth such a dynamic and rich resource. So I'm definitely, of all the things I think we've rolled out in the last few months, BrainFuse is at the top of my list. As far as what's next for us, in all honesty, more of the same. As Marcia mentioned, we've had quite a learning year and we've jumped from success to failure to success with different programs and different things that we've tried, but I've never seen our team more resilient or creative than I have this year. And I hope that we get to continue that momentum and synergy between all of our team members.
Okay, we're gonna have to be quick. Heather?
I think one of the most positive things to come out of this entire year is that our staff is a lot closer for having weathered all of these events together. Mm-hmm. And I think that a goal for going forward is just for us to continue being flexible and innovative in everything that we offer.
Okay, and Marcia?
I totally agree with what Heather just said. In outreach, not only is our staff closer, but I think we're actually closer with our patrons and families because there's a lot of communication going on behind the scenes. It's harder to provide service the way we're doing it. And there's a lot more talking on the telephone and things like that. So I'm really proud of that. I have one thing that I want to plug before the end of the program. Can I do it now or should I wait?
Yeah.
I'm doing a really cool thing for the holidays. People are sad about having to stay home this year. And so Jason from Kenosha Community Media and I are doing a holiday pet video. We want everyone in the community to contribute a picture of their pet. And it is going to be a joyful, happy video that people can watch when they're at home. And it's hopefully going to run around Christmas. And people can submit that photo online. The website with a link is mykpl.info/bookmobile.
Okay, I'll put that in the Facebook page comments so people can find it. So I want to give Barb the last word, a director of the Kenosha Public Library, Wisconsin 2020 Library of the Year. What are some things that you are looking forward to for the library?
Well, I think the silver lining here is that what librarians have always believed in is now forefront in other people's minds. What I mean by that is I've been, yelling from the rooftops for 29 years that libraries are essential. Libraries are important. And, you know, we have this huge role to play. And I think we've proved that in this pandemic, and we're not the only believers anymore. The community believes it, the mayor believes it, the council believes it, and with all the people we rely on to get our funding and to be supported believe it too. So that's the administrator point of view for you. What's next for us? I'd like to see us play a very large role in Uptown's recovery. As they rebuild, I'd like to see a larger presence for the library, because I think we can be great leaders in that project. And we have applied